Right now, the loss of Janesville's General Motors plant in 2008 left a void in the area's economy that still felt today. But a new type of factory could be coming to Rock County, one that produces a radioactive isotope. It's called molybdenum-99. The isotope is used to screen for different types of cancers, but its supply is always in question. A production facility in Janesville would be the only one of its kind in North America. Sarah Varney is a senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She's been reporting on this. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, tell us about molybdenum 99, not a household word, definitely. What is it used for?
So nuclear medicine imaging basically runs on what's called Moly-99, and it's this radioisotope. It's produced by nuclear fission by taking enriched uranium, and it decays incredibly rapidly. So within just a couple of days, the isotope is practically worthless. So it's used for bone cancer scans. It's used for cardiac stress tests. It's used for breast cancer screening. It is used in, you know, upwards of 90% of all nuclear medicine imaging runs entirely on this Moly-99.
And it's not produced currently anywhere on our continent, is that right?
It is not. It's not produced anywhere in North America. It's produced primarily at these 6 government-owned nuclear reactors. Most of them are in Europe. There's one in South Africa and one in Australia. And the reactors are primarily built during the Eisenhower administration. So they're quite old and quite rickety. They're always requiring upgrades. There is a new reactor in South Africa, but this one is currently offline, actually. So it's, once again, and the Moly-99 shortage is starting to concern a lot of nuclear medicine departments around the country.
So it's coming from around the world. It's an unstable supply. It's an unstable isotope, so it has to get to from production to use pretty quickly. So if I am someone working in a hospital, I'm doing these kind of tests with this molybdenum-99, do I know if it's going to be available for my screening that I'm doing tomorrow?
No, not necessarily. It's actually, I even talked to, you know, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, one of the premier cancer clinics in the country, and you'd think that they would just have a stable supply of this. And it's really, you know, night after night, these nuclear pharmacists are looking at their supply to figure out whether or not they're going to have enough to distribute to the hospitals. One of the people that I interviewed described this like running through the desert with an ice cream cone. So there's a long story that I did for the New York Times, about 2,500 words or so. So if people want to read more about it, they can read it there. But essentially, once they make this stuff in the nuclear reactors in either Europe or South Africa or Australia, it gets processed, goes through a number of different stages, and then it gets put on actual commercial airline flights. And in some cases, you know, the pilots say, I don't want to fly with this stuff on my plane. Or in other cases, there was one instance where it was going through Dubai and there was a huge fog bank that came in, so the planes couldn't take off, so the stuff just decayed and became worthless. Then there's other times when the reactors themselves, I mentioned, are shut down because there's a lightning strike, or in the case of South Africa, there was one time when a baboon got into the reactor hall and they shut the thing down. So this is very much a catch-as-catch-can supply chain, and so there's been this big impetus to try and create homegrown Moly-99. And there was a law signed by President Obama in 2013 to really encourage radioisotope development in the United States. So there are hundreds of millions of dollars of grants that have been awarded by the NNSA, by the federal government, to try and encourage companies to go into this. You can imagine it takes a lot of money to build one of these things. The plant in Janesville is estimated at about $100 million. And when all is said and done, it'll probably, price tag will be much more than that.
Talking to Sarah Varney from Kaiser Health News about an effort to create this hard-to-produce, hard-to-get radioactive isotope, molybdenum-99, that's used in cancer screenings, and why the road appears to be leading to Janesville, Wisconsin, to produce it. And Sarah, let's take it to Janesville. Why are we looking at, just down the street from a lot of us in Wisconsin to produce this key isotope?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the president of SHINE, as it's called, is from or went to school in Madison, Wisconsin. So there's a lot of nuclear engineers, as it turns out, in Madison who went to the university there. And he had a development lab that was based just outside of Madison. So when he was looking to figure out where he was going to build this facility, he started looking at a number of different cities in Wisconsin, as well as some other states. But the this is 2009, 2010 or so, and as you remember, Janesville was still reeling from the closure of the GM plant, and its economic development team was very aggressively pursuing economic development projects. So they got wind of what was happening with Shine, and so they offered Shine a very lucrative deal. They offered them this huge swath of land just south of the city in this what is now a cornfield, basically. They offered to put lots of electricity and other kinds of utilities out to the site, and they also offered them some loans, which would be forgivable if Shine somehow was unable to went belly up, essentially, in the process.
This is not.
There's also, I should say, another one of these radioisotope production facilities in Beloit, so also in Rock County, called North Star Medical Radioisotopes. Now they're not building a nuclear accelerator. They're trying to make Moly 99 in a way that doesn't involve uranium. So they also have a facility. So it is quite strange that in Rock County, Wisconsin, you have basically two of the three companies that are trying to get control of this Moly 99 market here in the United States.
Can you talk about some of the challenges of doing this? Because this isn't the kind of startup you can just slap together in your garage. This is, radioactive isotopes. There are obviously regulations for national security reasons, among others. What goes into making this happen?
Well, you can imagine this is incredibly complex, right? So there is a facility in Tennessee where a lot of the highly enriched uranium, actually most of the highly enriched uranium in the United States, is stored. The United States then ships that uranium overseas to France primarily, to the government facility in France. They then essentially truck this stuff, this highly enriched uranium, which terrorists prize this highly enriched uranium because they can use it to make dirty bombs. So they truck it to these nuclear reactors around Europe, and then it has to get processed. And when you essentially blast this highly enriched uranium, it creates this atomic alphabet soup. And so then they go in and they fish out the Moly 99. That then gets processed and gets sent back to the United States, as I mentioned, on these commercial jets, and then it gets processed again into this imaging agent called technetium-99. Once it's turned into technetium, it only has about 6 hours before it decays so rapidly that it becomes worthless. So it's quite a complex supply chain, and right now it's obviously going across the globe, and the idea is to try and create some sort of local source for Moly 99. Some companies are looking at trying to do it without highly enriched uranium. Some are trying to do it without uranium at all. But the question is, right now this stuff does not make a ton of money. So in order to attract investors into this market, it's been quite difficult for some of these companies.
So if these plants in Beloit and Janesville end up coming online, and that's a big if, it's not a sure thing, it sounds like, what would the timeline be?
Well, the timeline has really shifted. So, I mean, Shine originally in some of the initial documents had already predicted that they would be up and running right now. Its CEO, Greg Pfeiffer, recently said that they would be in full commercial production sometime in 2020. They did break ground last August on this prototype facility in Janesville, and Shine is saying that it'll be open later this year. And I think the plan is that they want to be able to show potential investors that its nuclear accelerator technology works. So they've built these prototypes that are actually in the lab up in Monona, and it's quite impressive. And you walk in there and you have to wear, it's not the right word, but it's basically like a Geiger counter that essentially tells you you're not being blasted with nuclear radiation. And there are these magical devices that look like these giant purple lightsabers. And that's essentially what they're going to build in this prototype facility, even larger versions of that in this prototype facility.
And as for what's at stake, I think you wrote that we in the United States are the biggest consumers of this molybdenum-99 in cancer screenings.
We are. So it's not just cancer screenings, I should say. I mean, one of the biggest uses for this are cardiac stress tests. So if you think you've had a heart attack or your doctor thinks you've had a heart attack, they'll send you to a nuclear medicine imaging department, and you'll most definitely be injected with technetium-99, and that'll show whether or not there's some sort of blockage in your heart. As I mentioned, it also bone scans is another primary use of this. But there's about 50,000 Americans each day that depend on technetium-99 or Moly 99. So we are the largest consumers of this in the world.
Are there other comparable products or methods of doing the same thing that this isotope is used for?
There are other that this isotope is used for. Not that this isotope is used for. There's other ways in which, you know, there are other ways to do a cardiac stress test. There's other ways to detect whether or not there's cancer in your bones or in a breast. And when there have been worldwide shortages of moly-99, some of these nuclear medicine departments have switched over to different technologies. One of them is called positron emission tomography, PET. It's much more widespread in the market now, but it is still a quite expensive procedure, and Medicare doesn't approve of it for certain types of scans, and it tends to be much more expensive. So I think there's a good question whether or not, you know, if they can really stabilize the moly-99 market, that will probably stave off the further encroachment of some of these other technologies. But if they can't, you know, it could be that some of these more expensive technologies ends up taking over, and overall the cost of nuclear medicine imaging goes up.
And for people working in nuclear medicine, do they feel a sense of urgency and maybe hope that there could be a domestic, more or less local supply?
I think that they, you know, they're so used to kind of this crazy supply chain where they're not really sure every day whether or not they're going to have enough that I think they become somewhat inured to it. So I don't get the sense that within nuclear medicine imaging there's a real concern necessarily or a sense of urgency. I mean, I think that from the government's perspective, you know, they really want to secure this highly enriched uranium. They don't want to be shipping it overseas, but they are fully aware that many of these nuclear medicine imaging departments could not operate if they didn't continue to ship this stuff. So I think a lot of the concerns come more from, you know, certainly stabilizing the supply chain, but also really more from, concern that terrorists are going to get their hands on some of the stuff while it's in motion.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
That's Sarah Varney from Kaiser Health News. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time on the Ideas Network.